Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. It is 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
Fun things lined up for you throughout this hour. We're going to get into a little bit more of those oddball stories throughout the year, recapping some of those. Mm-hmm. Got some good stories of the day coming up for you as well. Right now, Melissa and I, usually Tuesdays, Thursdays, whenever we get together, we go over these weird, random, fun, wacky facts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd focus a little bit more on Christmas this time, and along with that, Hanukkah.
All right.
So now we'll start with Hanukkah, since we are, of course, in the season. And there are some things that I think are pretty commonly known about Hanukkah. But let's go recap. Let's go ahead and recap.
Please do, because there's a lot I don't know about Hanukkah.
Okay. I thought that might be the case, mm-hmm. Along with many of the people that I've talked to over the past weekend, 2 weekends, mm-hmm. Said that. So I thought, all right, well, let's put put my money where my mouth is and actually explain some of these things to you.
Mm-hmm.
So Hanukkah is all about, we love lighting candles. Jewish people love candles. We're big fans of them, so that we like it. No, it's not that. Hanukkah, they lasts for 8 nights to commemorate how long the holy light burned. The holiday commemorates the... Now, this should be mentioned. There are a couple of different versions of what Hanukkah, what Hanukkah means and where the tradition came from.
Okay.
This is the, in essence, the oldest one and the one that is mostly taught.
Okay.
The holiday commemorates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem during the 2nd century BC. Although there was only enough oil to keep the menorah on the altar burning for one night, the menorah miraculously burned for 8 days.
Wow.
And so explaining to my daughter Bria about this, this not only began the tradition, the essence of next year they would continue the tradition of Hanukkah and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning of Jewish people, underestimating things, of looking at something, what, that's all I've got? That's it? I'm never going to be able to make that last. That is not nearly enough for me. I cannot, what do you know? Hey, actually it works. This is actually quite a bit. I'm actually quite full. Now I'm full. I'm verklempt. I'm done. We underestimated that one. A menorah is lit each night for the holiday. A menorah is a candelabra with 9 candles, 4 candles on each side, and 1 in the center to light all the others. The center candle, known as the shamash, sits higher than the other candles. 1 candle is lit each day of Hanukkah. And I don't think it's in this article here, but all Jewish holidays start at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally, the start of the new day, end of the day, start of the new day, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
What does Hanukkah mean? It means it's a really cool word. No.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday celebrates the triumph of the Maccabees in reclaiming their temple after it was desecrated by the Syrian Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
Show you how old this story is. Syrian Greeks.
Like, yes.
We're
talking ancient times here.
And when we're talking like purity. Like, what a ridiculous concept purity is when it comes to the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a silly, ridiculous thing, like, in the 50s and stuff like that, let alone, like, any time, like, now, where mm-hmm. everybody, there is no pure. Like, nobody's pure, and nobody walking around, like, 100% this or 100% that or anything. That was silly in the 1950s. This is a story that goes back, BC we're talking, and we were all crossed over, and, mm-hmm. you know, this creed was messing around with this creed and everything. Like, come on.
Human nature.
Yeah. There's many, many different spellings. You may have seen that a holiday spelled Hanukkah with A-A-N-U-K-K-A-H, or Hanukkah with 2 N's instead of 2 K's, or Hanukkah with a C. This is all done to confuse Gentiles. We love confusing you guys. It's just one of our, it's one of our pastimes. No, that's not correct. I apologize. I thought it was. The most common version of Hanukkah is with the 2 K's. There is no correct way to directly translate the Hebrew sounds to English, so it is also pronounced many ways, and it's mm-hmm. also spelled different ways traditionally because of that
phonetic spelling.
Right. So many of our words, you gotta really get in there for those. The dreidel is based on a German gambling game. Wonderful.
German gambling.
So glad
game.
I just taught that to my daughter last night.
Yeah.
I did not, actually, this is new to me. I did not know this one, so I'm even learning this one.
All right.
A spinning top with letters printed on its side was played in both Germany and England starting in the mid of the 16th century. European Jews adopted the game and replaced the German and English letters with Hebrew ones to engage with the scripture. Hmm. Now, the dreidel is used throughout the holiday. And it generally is a fun game. I don't know. I actually find it fun. I think it is. Dishes are fried for a reason. People fry their food in oil for Hanukkah as a symbol of the miracle oil that burned for 8 nights.
Oh, all right.
The original Hanukkah story is a military victory. The Maccabees, an army of Jewish rebels conquering the Syrian Greeks who defiled their holy temple in Jerusalem, the Maccabees reclaimed the temple. And why is Hanukkah so early this year? Why does Hanukkah fall on different days and everything? Because of the Jewish calendar being, changing every year.
Okay.
So just some simple things there. And there's plenty more to uncover with this holiday. And it's not about, look, our numbers are fine. I'm not trying to convert anybody here or anything like that. This really, it honestly, to me, has very little to do with religion as much as it has to do with humanity.
Interesting history.
Yeah, and history, just in general. Yeah. Yes, Melissa, I think history is just fascinating. I read quite a bit about Muslim history and other things that I am not practicing or anything. I just think are interesting. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this before. I've never walked into an ugly church. I've never seen an ugly church. They're beautiful to me. They're some of the most beautiful architecture in the world are churches. As a lover of architecture, as a lover of these things, I find church history is fascinating, especially the older you go with them and really reading about it, just focusing on certain things. So let us take a look at Christmas here. That's some interesting facts about Christmas. Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells was the first song played in space.
Really?
Yeah. On December 16th in 1965, the song Jingle Bells made history by becoming the first song to be played in space during NASA's Gemini 6A space flight. At least we're pretty sure it was.
Interesting that they chose that one.
We have to be fair here. We don't know what the alien populations out there are
playing
into Christmas music.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
I don't know.
It was Princess Charlotte who popularized Christmas trees in England.
Really?
Usually when we think about Christmas trees, we think about Prince Albert, Queen Victoria's consort, popularizing them in England. But the first known Christmas tree was set up at Queen's Lodge, Windsor, in December of 1800 by Princess Charlotte. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I don't think trees are as popular over there. They just don't have as many of them.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting point to make. Yeah, I didn't think about that. For many years, I think that plenty of people have heard this, how Coca-Cola is kind of like responsible for the way we perceive Santa Claus, like the jolly old guy, the chub, all these different things about him. Well, the Coca-Cola company is often credited with this. They created the red-coated modern image of Santa Claus as we know and love him today, but this isn't true. Most of his modern imagery was put together by Thomas Nast, back in the 1870s.
Really?
And if you look at Thomas Nast's work, you see where the origins of the early versions of Saint Nick begin and where he is now.
Cool.
Legend has it, the legend tells that candy canes date back to 1670, when a choir master in Germany gave out sugar sticks to the choir boys to keep them quiet during services.
Bribe them with candy.
The hook was meant to symbolize a shepherd's crook for the Christmas occasion, but other people think the hook exists so that they can easily be hung from trees.
Yeah.
That part is not known. But
right. And I've heard both versions.
I had not heard either version, so I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. I'd never heard either version of those. I never even thought about where candy canes kind of like got their origin from. I think that's one of my favorite origin stories, when there are stories that I never even thought of where that came from.
And right. Why is it shaped like that?
Yeah. Christmas in Japan is a secular holiday with less than 1% of the Japanese population identifying as Christian. When KFC launched their Kentucky for Christmas marketing campaign in 1974, it was an instant hit, and now KFC is a popular choice for Christmas dinners in Japan. It is actually part of their tradition.
Yeah, that's hilarious to me.
I love that.
KFC for Christmas.
That's actually not that. So that's just as funny to me as a tradition many Jews on Christmas have Chinese. It's just been done forever.
That's hilarious.
So, I mean, that's just as funny as to me as Japanese eating KFC for Christmas.
Way to go on the KFC marketing firm to go, well, this entire country doesn't really subscribe to this religious practice. Let's get our business in there.
Well played.
Yeah. Just good on them.
Marketing 101 there. I could teach a master class on some of that stuff. That's pretty good. That's a really good point to make, I think, too. How about the song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas? Well, there's some interesting stuff behind this. The song was often sung by crowds of lower class servants as they demanded alcohol from their masters during the festive period. The lyric, "We won't go until we get some," was used to get their point across.
Ah, I wondered where that. Yeah, I never knew this.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We won't go until we get some.
We won't go until. Okay, there we go.
It's kind of menacing.
It is very menacing now that you think about it. Like, I never thought about this before, but. Boy, tone does a lot, doesn't it? We talk about this with texting and everything, but I hadn't really thought about it with that. Boy. Children who write to Santa Claus in the U.S. have a good chance of getting a reply.
Yeah, that's cool.
In the United States, campaigns such as Operation Santa have been running for decades, with hundreds of volunteers around the country having the responsibility of replying to letters from children that are addressed to Santa Claus. This allows children to write to Santa to get a response from old St. Nicholas. We're, of course, doing some fun stuff with that around here, and we've been talking about doing some things with that. That is just
Santa's been in a couple times.
Yes, yes. We've been very spoiled by that. I've been very lucky for that one. In Austria, instead of getting coal, if you've been bad, you get Krampus.
Ooh.
I think many people have heard of Krampus by now, but just in case those that haven't, Krampus is a half-man, half-goat created creature that punishes naughty children at Christmas time by chasing them around or even dragging them to another world.
Ooh.
The Austrian equivalent, basically, of getting coal in your stockings. They took this a little farther.
A little farther.
In some parts of Austria, adults will still dress up as Krampus every year and scare children into behaving. Dang. Ain't never heard of time out.
Well, you know, I mean, Aesop's Fables. Let's look at the history of stories and the teaching, you know.
Yeah.
Bad things happen if you don't act good.
Yeah. Yeah. celebrating Christmas used to be illegal for 260 years in the U.S.
What?
You might be aware that Oliver Cromwell banned the pagan holiday of Christmas for 12 years from 1647 in the UK. But did you know that the ban was only lifted in Oklahoma, USA in 1907? This means in some parts of the U.S., Christmas was banned for over 260 years.
Because it was considered a pagan holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Especially when we look at now the way we treat like paganism and so much of this. And I mean like traditional, like true paganism. I'm not talking about, you know, certain versions or what it has been kind of like Hollywood into or any of that kind of stuff.
Right. But no, if you look at the history of celebrations that people hold and how they became combined, the Christian holidays were combined with pagan holidays because that made them celebratable, if that's a word, by everyone.
Yeah.
You know, they could come together. That was something that brought them together. But then this I'm sorry, I write Xmas because it's a shortened version of the word Christmas. It doesn't take Christ out of Christmas. It's just a shortened version of it.
I'm going to be completely honest with everybody right now. I've been writing Xmas like my whole life just because I like X's and I think it looks cool. I have never once thought about that takes the Christ out of. I've never even put that together before. I feel like a fool right now for never thinking and never putting that together, but I genuinely never have.
I think it's okay that you haven't because it doesn't do that. It
wouldn't even dawn on me.
No.
I don't know. I mean, that seems like trying to get the water out of our body, like getting the that seems like one of the more ridiculous things. This is my pushback on this whenever this comes up is the idea of this. Do you see this in your household? Because that's what matters. Like, you got to take care of your own backyard.
Yep.
If you think that it is not your in your household, this is important to you, then you take care of it. But I mean, thinking the idea that it's. The idea that, like, when we were kids and they said a war on Christmas or something like that. Let me take a look at how Christmas is done over the years since then. Still the most popular holiday in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We just got done telling you that it's celebrated in Japan.
That has less than 1% Christian faith there.
I feel like Christ and Christmas, all the above, are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have anything to worry about here.
No.
Meanwhile, there is a rise in anti-Semitism, that we haven't seen since the 40s and 50s. And in fact, in many ways, we have never seen before, period.
No.
Now, that's where the focus, I feel like, could go, is this idea of there being a war. That's just something that some news outlets like to put out there and everything, because basically they're lazy. They're just going to keep rehashing the old, hey, what got everybody all riled up last year?
Yeah, let's try to get people riled up over something again. That's not a problem.
We don't need stats. We don't need facts. We don't need any of that stuff. Let's go ahead and put a big bunch of, pop and circumstance out there and some graphics and everything, and we'll scare the people. That's what we'll do. That 'tis the season, everybody. That's ridiculous.
No, let's focus on what the true meaning of Christmas is and loving and caring for those around us.
Yeah. Yeah. Queen Victoria sent the first official Christmas card is where we wrap up. Queen Victoria was the first official person who sent a Christmas card, but the first commercial card came in 1843 when Sir Henry Cole produced 1,000 and sold them for 1 shilling each. There are currently only 12 of these cards left in the world, with one going up for auction a couple of years ago for over £300,000.
Woo! Yikes.
Man, that sold for that really upped in value.
Quite a bit.
Do you like getting Christmas cards?
Yes. I especially love the photo ones that people share that has pictures of their families or their pets. And I like when my family includes a letter, lets us know what's happened with them the previous year.
I get a kick out of those, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those.
Yeah, I like putting them up on my fridge.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back, get into some more of these oddball stories, some of these offbeat stories throughout the year. We'll touch on some more of those and have some more fun. It's the Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. You got Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Couple of oddball stories wanted to touch on, we'll get to, and some good stories of the day will be coming up a little bit later. I got a really good one I can't wait to get into, actually, you guys. It's a really cool story.
All right.
But yeah, these oddball stories that we're going to keep going through throughout the year. Because, I mean, it's not as if any year there isn't plenty of these stories. But man, 2022, it was almost like, 2021 came out and like looked at the next year, 22, and was like, yeah, it's been a wild year, man. You're never going to be able to top this. And 2022 said, hold my beer. And watch out, man. Fastest tightrope walk in high heels. We just did that story bit ago. The Vermont teenager who did this, she's been performing at youth circuses since she was 2. And she donned 4-inch high heels and walked 639 feet and 7 inches across a tightrope at Bellows Falls Union High School in May, when she was a senior. Wonderful's feet demonstrated the previous record, 49 feet.
Yeah. So she beat it by, a few times over.
So when we're talking about oddball stories, some of these have kind of like led into or started with Guinness Records.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who has been really kind of like a partner of mine on this subject, where I want to get us our own Guinness record to break here at the morning show, I thought it'd be fun to go over the 10 oddest Guinness World Records of the year.
All right.
Just give you an example of that story we did, I think, last week with that young lady on the tightroper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most drink cans placed on head using air suction. We did this one too.
Yeah, that's weird.
Jamie Keaton, aka Canhead, or Campa, as he's called.
All right.
Instead of Grandpa, Campa. His grandchildren call him that. He used air suction to affix 10 empty beverage cans to his face and shaved head, earning the record when the cans remained in a place for at least 5 seconds. I think there were some questions about whether they were filled or not. We didn't have that part of the article, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were empty. His pores actually suck air.
I actually have a skin condition that's not named yet where my skin pores literally suck in oxygen, Keaton told Guinness World Records. That's a good one.
Crazy.
Most eggs balanced on the back of the hand. Ibram Sagaya of Iraq managed to balance 18 eggs on the back of his hand, equaling the record originally set by Jack Harris of Britain in May of 2020, making the two men co-holders of the record.
Was there an egg size?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, you know, eggs are, there's a lot of different sizes of eggs. Were these quail eggs? Because those are pretty little.
Yeah. You need to have a high level of focus when attempting such a record, which is difficult to achieve, Senga said. Add to that the pain and pressure your hands go through. I needed to be ready for the moment. Okay.
Okay. Pain and pressure. How heavy are 18 eggs?
Yeah, and I didn't see any pictures of this.
Yeah, I was just going to look to see if I could find a picture.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'd like to have I'm with you. I'd like to know if these were big eggs, little eggs. I'd like to know some of that. Let's see here. Fastest time to find the alphabetized letters in a can of alphabet soup. Some of these records just came out in the last month.
Oh, yeah. Those are normal-sized eggs.
Are they? Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are.
Those are normal, and he like just stacked them up on top of his hands and then on top of themselves. So it's like a pyramid of eggs.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Yep, so Jacob Chandler of Oregon found all 26 English language letters in a can of alphabet soup and placed them in order in 2 minutes and 8.6 seconds.
2 minutes.
After researching unusual Guinness World Records to impress his son, Brayson.
Oh.
Chandler said the most difficult aspect of practicing for the record was learning to identify the subtle differences between letters like M and W.
Mm. Yeah.
That's kind of funny, though. that is kind of fun. What I find funny about that is the idea of, you know, your son sitting right there watching you practice this and getting frustrated with it, or like that whole process, the growing of getting better at this kind
and
of thing.
How many cans of alphabet soup did they go through? Like, that must have been a staple in their household for him to even think of doing this.
I'm going to lose some people on this one. I am not a Chef Boyardee guy.
No.
My Nana had one food, one product that you could not bring into the house.
Oh, yeah. Being Italian, I could see where that wouldn't be a staple in your household.
I have never had any like Chef Boyardee product. I've never had anything like it. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. Or not. I just know that the little bit that I've tried like a noodle before. I didn't like that. And I was like in sixth grade. And I haven't tried it since.
But, you know, I mean, if you're real hungry and there's nobody to cook for you and you're about 10, there's nothing better than a cold can of ravioli.
Millions of people around the world will agree with you, Melissa. Yeah, they don't need me. They don't need my numbers. They don't need, you know, they're fine without it and stuff. They're very popular. Oh,
those childhood memories.
For us, it was mac and cheese. Okay. That was the one that we learned real quickly how to make on our own.
You can make it on your own, but see, the trick about the Chef Boyardee is you get to just open the can and get a spoon.
Oh, sure.
You don't even have to heat it up.
Yeah, yeah, that is pretty. Even I can't mess that up. That just seems like, I'm surprised they didn't teach me how to eat that. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into some more of these after Melissa's news here on The Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, getting into the Christmas spirit with Sir Paul McCartney here. I thought he was going to jump in. I didn't want to interrupt him, but I don't think he's going to. There he is.
There he is.
I knew he was coming in. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. We hope the Christmas season is treating you good out there, everybody. We're certainly going to. Welcome back to the morning show. God, we're going over some of these odd world records that were broken in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them have happened in the last 6 months. I just, during the break there, was just double checking. And yeah, a lot of these have happened recently.
Yeah, they seemed very recent.
Like the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name. Japan's same name association of Hirosaka Tanakas, founded in 1994 by the Hirosaki Tanaka, 53, managed to gather 178 people who share the name at an October gathering in Tokyo's Shibuya Ward. The founding Tanaka had attempted the record before in 2011 and 2017, but this year marked the first time he was able to beat the previous record of 164, which was set by a gathering of people named Martha Stewart in 2005.
Wow. Previous to that, it was John Smith.
Yes. Yes. Now, me and the four other Jameses have tried to get this, but it's just there's just five of us, so it wasn't
you can't
really
get five of you all together at the same time.
No, there was only five. You know, it wasn't really going to do a lot. There was another one here that the fastest time to assemble Mr. Potato Head.
Oh yeah,
we did that one. Mm-hmm. Lim Kai T Yi of Butterworth, Malaysia, put his award-winning puzzle-solving skills to an unusual test when he took a fully disassembled Mr. Potato Head toy and put it all the pieces in the proper spots in 5.43 seconds.
It's pretty fast.
Pretty good. I don't believe we did this one, Melissa. The longest beard chain.
Oh, yes, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, because we talked about knotting them together,
right.
and
yes.
That they were hanging out for a long time afterwards.
No, because I was thinking of, longest beard. That's what I think I was just thinking of period, longest beard. I didn't think of, the chains.
No, chained them together.
Yeah.
Which would be hilarious to see. Why aren't there pictures of this?
Yeah, yeah. I bet you there were pictures, and the guys that were a part of this were like, no, you're not publishing that.
No, those are banished from the internet.
Yeah, yes, I'm almost positive that's how that went down. Competitors in the 2022 National Beard and Mustache Championship in Casper, Wyoming, teamed up to have their beards clipped together into a chain that measured a record-breaking 150-foot chain of facial hair.
150 beards and mustaches. Can you imagine?
Otherwise known as every plumber's nightmare. Every
man. Yeah.
The chain beat a record of 62 feet and 6 inches which was set in Germany in 2007. Yeah. Yeah, that there's not a lot of places for us to go after that with
you know, but I would probably watch that spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
That would be entertaining.
I'd watch that. Yeah, I'd definitely watch that.
Yeah, I'd want a beer in hand while watching it, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like an Oktoberfest kind of celebration.
Yeah, yeah. Just a couple of quick hits here, entertainment-wise, and focusing a little bit on country music. Jessica Chastain says that Miranda Lambert offered her bourbon and a red solo cup at the CMAs this year. Jessica and Michael Shannon were there promoting their Showtime series, George and Tammy.
Okay.
And Miranda Lambert is known for kind of I don't want to say unprofessional, because by no means is she unprofessional, but she's
off
known,
the wall.
Known to be, yes, off the, not exactly your traditional person backstage and everything, whether it's her concert or an event like this. I think that makes her one of the more fun personalities in the music industry and stuff. Jessica Chastain was just taken back by this. Keith Urban is really in the giving spirit this year. He donated $250,000 to four charities in Nashville.
Wow.
They're the Music Health Alliance, the Nashville Food Project, Thistle Farms, and the Vanderbilt Breast Cancer Research Company.
Wow.
Or research group.
Awesome. Good on him.
Yeah, very well done by him. I hadn't heard about that. Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, and their three daughters had a dinner-themed night last Wednesday where they dressed up as characters from The Godfather. Tim posted photos of this online. I don't know. I was going to see if I could find any of these, but I wasn't able to really come across much of anything. I thought that was pretty good, though.
That's hilarious.
That's a good story, too. Mm-hmm. And finally, the Oak Ridge Boys are celebrating their 40th anniversary of Thank God for Kids, which they first released in November of 1982, was originally written and recorded by Eddie Raven in 1976.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah. Haven't heard that in a while.
No. Rocky Mountain, those were the bands I remember from my, like, youth.
Yeah.
That we listened to. That and Garth Brooks.
When I think of, like, older country bands, like Alabama, mm-hmm. I think is probably the first one that I think of that I know, even I knew of, and you know, not growing up in that household, kind of household. But Oak Ridge Boys are, like, right after that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like, right second to that one. And that's going to do it for about those stories. And did you have anything, Melissa?
No, I was just trying to look up what Rocky Mountain, like that. I can't think of the name of the band.
I know. It's bugging me, too. I was going to look during the break. I was going to quickly go to commercial break and try to come back with it. We do have some really good stories of the day coming up for you that I encourage you guys to stick around for. They're going to be awesome. I think you're going to be interested in them. Did want to, let's go ahead. We'll just go ahead and go to our break. We'll come back. We'll see if we have some stuff there or not.
All right. Coming up,
more to come here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:47 on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Guinness World Records before, Melissa, and I thought this would be a fun way to go into our Then Ain't Right stories with some of the sillier, weirder Guinness records of all time.
Okay.
Like most eggs crushed with the head. In 1 minute, Shira Furman crushed 80 eggs with his head.
80. Wow. That sounds like a headache.
Strangely, never ate eggs again. I'm joking. I have no idea. I have no idea. But I would lose my taste for eggs pretty
probably.
Quickly.
Or I'm like slamming things into my head.
Like 8:30. I'm like, I'm never eating scrambled eggs again. I'm never...
Talk about egg on the face.
Joke of the day. That was good. That was the joke of the day right there. Cycling backwards while with a violin.
Okay, oh, okay. I saw somebody doing this. Doesn't Lindsay Sterling do this?
That's right. She does. Yes, that's right. She does. Yes.
I don't know about backwards, but she can definitely go forwards.
Mm-hmm. She can do anything.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God, is she
amazing. She's incredible.
I can talk about her for, like, the next 5 hours if you want. Christina Adams, is who we'll talk about. Christina Adams cycled 60 kilometers in 5 hours and 9 minutes while sitting on the handlebars facing the seat, which had been converted into a music stand. The violinist cycled backwards, playing Johann Sebastian Bach.
Wow. That's a long time to be cycling, period, backwards, and then also playing violin. It's impressive.
Not sure about this one.
Okay.
Most snails on a face. Finn Keffler, age 11, of Sandy, Utah.
Of course it is.
Covered his face with 43 live snails.
Oh.
And apparently this broke the previous record of, I'm not doing that. Tell me you didn't, I mean, you weren't right with Melissa smiling when you heard it was an 11-year-old that did this.
Yeah.
Because there ain't no adult doing this one. At least I don't feel like there is. That's hilarious. most people brushing their teeth simultaneously.
Interesting.
Yeah, this one seems like, I bet we could beat this one. I mean, how high of a number could it be or whatever?
Yeah.
I bet we could get a bunch of people together and do this. No, we can't. 10,800 students brushed their teeth for about 3 minutes in Matilda, Philippines.
Wow.
Got us. You got us on that one. Yep.
That's a lot of people at the same time. Were they all together?
It looks like a school or something like that, and then it branched out. Like, I mean, honestly, it looks like a town. Like, all decided to do this.
Right. Crazy.
Yeah. How about? I don't like this one. The largest collection of sick bags. Over 40 years, Nick Vermeulen collected a staggering 6,016 sick bags. The bags are from 1,142 airlines and 160 cities, countries. The bags are not been used.
Correct.
The bags are just the bags.
Yes. She's just collecting the bags.
But of all the hobbies, of all the things to collect.
I mean, what's this piled in your closet? Yeah. I mean, this looks like an amazing collection. What is it? Sick bags?
We have more of these we will get to tomorrow on tomorrow's show. But I wanted to save some of them. But that is too good. There are some good ones there. Got another That Ain't Right story here. Police, HOV lane drivers, only passengers. Okay?
Yes. Yeah. It's a big fine.
It is. And police in Arizona said a driver was cited after being found driving in a carpool lane with an inflatable Grinch as his sole passenger.
I remember this story.
This is a different story, though.
Oh,
this is a different
another inflatable
Grinch? This is another
Grinch?
One. This is another one that
goodness.
Happened. Yes, yes.
What's wrong with you people?
We're repeating these stories, though, because this is happening so much. Like, this is there have been about three or four stories of people doing this. I feel like if you're going to do this, if you're going to try to, like, first off, you're going to get caught. I mean,
well, how many people are doing this? And there must be a number of them getting away with it if more are trying.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. I bet the ones that are getting away with it, though, are not choosing to have the Grinch in there. Like, I feel like you're almost asking for
Then. It's kind of obvious. I mean, most people don't go to work dressed like that.
Yeah, yeah. The Department of State Troopers are asking people across the country to please use these lanes properly. And to not muddy them. Oftentimes, that can slow down many of our, EMT.
Emergency services.
Thank you. Emergency services vehicles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of an issue in rural communities, too, already with trains.
Yeah.
I'd like to see just as much done with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just fine these companies, as far as these train companies, and that's about the end of it. Because, you kind of need their income. So
right.
It's one of these balances, balancing acts you have to kind of figure out.
Well, unfortunately, the city of Wisconsin Rapids is looking into that as far as the city goes. And there is a survey on the city website that they are encouraging residents to go and take to give feedback for the delays at the rail crossings in specifically Wisconsin Rapids. So go to wirapids.org, take that survey before December 30th.
Nicely done, Mel. Good stories of the daytime. The mini forest revolution is here and coming to a town near you.
Ooh.
A novel approach in tree planting is taking root in the UK and beyond, offering an exciting solution to the climate and biodiversity crises. And this comes to us from Hannah Lewis out of Positive.News. You can go to Positive.News.com to find the entire article.
Okay.
Bundled up in a rain jacket and donning a wide-brimmed straw hat, Dr. Akia Makasa stood in front of 32 potted twig-sized seedlings, each accompanied by an image of the mature tree it would one day become. I'm going to give you some of the 32 species names, she explained, an emphasis on different types of trees and how vast and differently they are. He encouraged everyone to field the seedlings, to use all of them, all your five senses, to get to know these plants so that you know what they will become.
Mm-hmm.
The tree planting we are going to do at Tokyo Gusum is not for the production of timber or the beautification of the area. This project is for yourself and you as a local community to protect your lives from the disastrous situations. For some, the statement may have seemed like a stretch, but Malika's Mayawaska witnessed native trees and forests accomplishing great feats, from wide-standing earthquakes, while the build infrastructure around them collapsed, to preventing the spread of fire, to blocking cars from drifting out to sea in the aftermath of a tsunami.
Yeah.
Trees have had our back many, many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this whole oxygen thing that they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
A few days later, the newly trained leaders themselves led some 4,000 co-workers and community members in planting 35,000 trees and shrubs along the perimeter of the factory grounds. Within a few years, the seedlings they had once held in their hands would transform into tall, dense band of forests between the manufacturing plant and surrounding farmland.
Awesome.
And this is some something that is a trend that they are spreading. Like that, this is beginning. More and more places are doing this in their cities, where they're looking to protect while also add to the tree population issue.
We need more trees. I wonder what is going to happen here, because you know we had this horrible ice storm that really covered our trees. There are so many trees laying down that are toppling over. Branches are falling off. I wonder what the devastation to our tree population is going to happen after this most recent storm, and then going into now this really cold part of the forecast coming up. It'd be interesting to speak with arborists about how those things hurt our tree population.
Great. I'd like to get somebody like that on the air with us. Mm-hmm. We got Wisco tree people. We got a couple of connections here. We could get some people on. Mm-hmm. This thin strip of wildlife habitat is an otherwise industry transformed landscape, was meant to cushion the area against extreme weather. It was one of thousands of natural forests planting globally, according to the Miyazaki method. This technique, which allows for the creation of a mature natural forest in a completely small amount of time, is based on a careful calculation of the plant species that are best suited to the local environment. It's exciting in and of itself. A mature forest is a beautiful landscape element, a buffer against extreme heat, polluted air, flooding, and drought, an educational opportunity, and part of an antidote to global climate change.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't know that standing under the shade of a tree is going to be cooler?
Yeah. The process of being able to do this is very unique and very interesting, too. Mm-hmm. Being able to do, like, how quickly this can actually come about.
Yeah, especially when they're looking at all of those factors. What is going to grow best in the climate that they're in, what is going to help each other being next to, because it's not, you know, we don't need just one type of tree. We need multiple types of trees.
Mm-hmm. And wanted to get to this one, too. I thought this was a pretty cool story. Let me turn it my computer. I apologize, everybody. There we go. An EMT continued his historic heroic work into his day off when, during a ski trip, he located the man buried by an avalanche, dug him out, and spent 8 hours by his side on the mountain waiting for search and rescue.
Whoa.
Wild amounts of Utah snowing last week left the slopes in the Neffis Canyon ripe for an avalanche. Experienced backcountry skier Travis Hosner took it one tiny step too far by passing through a loose snowpack and triggered one.
Mm.
Hearing the woof, he realized he was probably a goner after it overtook him, and he was buried entirely up but for a single arm breaking his femur and hurting his arm in the process.
Oh, man.
After about 45 minutes of pain, digging, and shouting for help, an EMT with the Unified Fire Authority passing by on his own skiing trip heard his cries for help.
Hmm.
The as-yet unidentified EMT called search and rescue, but weather conditions prevented a helicopter from getting there. Equipment issues caused further delays, and it wasn't until about 7 p.m., about 8 hours later, that they got Hosner off the mountain.
Wow. That's a long time.
He is expected to make a full recovery. He is going to be looked on for a while. He's going to be in the hospital for a couple of days here and everything.
Yeah.
But it does look like he is going to be seeing a full recovery.
I would think, you know, broken bones, exposure probably from being out in the elements that long. But wow, good on that EMT for finding him and helping him. That's incredible.
I don't know if we could ever do enough of these stories. You know, I feel like we could spend all 3 hours talking about these kind of people and never cover it enough, never get to enough of it.
Well, the important job that they do in our societies cannot be understated. And the fact that many local communities and areas are having trouble funding their emergency service personnel, it's worth talking to your congresspeople about.
Yeah. That's going to do it for our show for today, but we are going to get out of the way and get into Morning Magazine. And coming up in Morning Magazine, we're going to welcome in part one, Congressman Ron Kind.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. In part two, we're going to catch up with our friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties.
All right.
You have a great day, Mel.
Yes, you too, James.
Have a good one out there, everybody. Stick around for more coming up right here on The Morning Show. Well, you know, I like the way you say it, Katrina. You go ahead.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.